Maybe you did a dry January this year, or maybe you know someone who did. Maybe you know people who are sober, whether or not they're in recovery. Or maybe you've heard people jokingly say they're sober curious. There's a growing movement of people who are choosing to not drink alcohol, or at least to moderate it. And while on the surface, that can sound like a pretty simple thing, it's like, okay, beer or no beer, it can actually get pretty complicated pretty quick. Jordana Rothman and Julia Bainbridge are food and drink writers and editors who've tracked and, frankly, helped make trends all over the country. The two of them have spent a lot of time in bars, restaurants, and parties, deep in the culture of drinking, and both have recently started to think about the culture of not drinking. Julia's just written a book called Good Drinks about non-alcoholic beverages, and Jordana met up with her to talk about some of those good drinks and about how they feel about their own states of sobriety.
Okay, so I feel like I want to start in a place that we've sort of always started in this conversation, which is language. You know, you and I have discussed so many times that the language leaves this giant gap for people who will have a drink but are not drinkers, people who are sober curious. I'm making giant air quotes right now because I think, at least for me, that word really doesn't feel like it necessarily fits. You know, I don't drink very much, but I am not sober. And I feel that the word sober is pretty loaded. You know, it indicates a larger narrative that I don't necessarily feel is appropriate for me to claim. And at the same time, I feel like some of the language, like I'm a moderate drinker, almost overstates the extent to which I drink. And so I feel like there's this gap in the language. Like I don't have a word for what I am.
Yeah. I guess what strikes me about the sober curious thing is I think it's just important to be careful about lumping that in with those in recovery, lumping those two into one category, right? So perhaps the paradigm will be shifted to a point that this isn't a thing. Drink, don't drink, whatever. Like no need for a label or a dedicated dry month or whatever. But while I appreciate that some people are choosing a sober lifestyle, it's important to remember that sobriety has likely been painful for those with substance use disorders. They make a hard decision every day to stay the course and usually have to engage in multiple forms of treatment. It's a lot of work, you know. So I think people in recovery would like that to be acknowledged. That's not exactly what you're talking about.
No, I think that's right there. I think that the reason what I'm responding to, and maybe a little bit more obliquely, is exactly that, which is that, you know, to use that word to describe what for me is not actually a very hard choice or decision that I make every day feels inappropriate. You know, but at the same time, I sort of acknowledge that this is a movement and limitations of language are what they are. And if that's sort of like the best we've got going right now, then, you know, maybe it captures something for this moment. And I hope that, you know, we'll find something better as a culture in the years to come.
I mean, for what it's worth, so I do think there's that issue with the sober curious term, the sort of cuteness of it. Mm-hmm. But I've seen very few people take issue with the term sober being used by people who aren't in recovery.
Oh, okay.
So as for myself, I don't use any terms really. It's tricky because I'm writing about this stuff. And while I'm not drinking, so I'm sober if we're going to be technical, right? Like sober just means not drinking, substanceless or free from substance. That said, I don't put a label on myself and it feels jarring when other people put that label on me because it makes me feel like there isn't room for mistakes and complication for the journey, which is really the reality of this thing. I think this applies to the word alcoholic too, right? Like it keeps the focus on a label as opposed to an individual relationship with alcohol.
So we're talking about words and language as it sort of relates to identity and sort of personal reckoning and relationship to sobriety. In restaurants, I feel like this is also something that is a place where I just feel like I've observed so many stumbles. So how do you feel about the way that restaurants handle this language question?
I mean, look, the good thing is people are trying to come up with something to replace mocktail. which while it's effective and it's simplicity and everybody knows what that means when you say it, feels juvenile, right? Like, and it implies that the drink is a lesser version of the real thing, which is a cocktail with alcohol in it. So I appreciate the effort, and we haven't settled on something that feels correct yet, but my approach has been to perhaps defiantly call them drinks. And that it wouldn't be fair in a bar, of course, right? Because patrons deserve clarity. But think about when people make plans with each other to get a drink. It's assumed that that drink means an alcoholic one and that you're meeting in a bar. And I guess my intent is to subvert that a little bit. People don't drink for all kinds of reasons. And those reasons just don't need to be a part of the conversation. Alcohol's the only drug you have to justify not taking. that needs to change.
Okay, so speaking of non-alcoholic beverages, there has definitely been an uptick in new products that are sort of filling this space. And I wonder, what are some of your favorites and sort of what is your general feeling about these products that feel like in some ways they're measured in their goodness according to like how much they replicate the real thing?
Right. Okay, a quick list of some of my favorite stuff. For non-alcoholic beer, Athletic Brewing, delicious stuff. One quote-unquote spirit that I wish were accessible in the States, and we're going to see things are going to become more and more available here. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's called Gnista, G-N-I-S-T-A. That is really, really a delicious. It's the first non-alcoholic spirit that I have drunk on its own in a glass, not mixed in with something else. And Seedlip is available everywhere and really is a good product. I mean, Ben Branson, who's the maker, really blew open this space. It's a sort of botanical-driven substance.
I think it sort of came onto the market as like a non-alcoholic gin.
Well, they don't call themselves that, but many bartenders have been using it that way. There are three sort of flavors in the range, and the first is called Garden, and it does have some of those ginny notes, and mm-hmm. so that's how bartenders have been using them. And look, you know, these products have real value, right? Like bartenders and home bartenders can lean on them to make more interesting non-alcoholic drinks, which is what I'm all about. But should we call them spirits? Like, should we call it wine? You know, they're not spirits and they're not wine. And the transformations that make these things what they are predicated on alcohol being produced. And I understand why those terms are used. It communicates to a consumer how this product is meant to be used, but it's worth thinking about. You know, it's funny. I bristle less at non-alcoholic beer, and this makes no sense, right? Like, I mean, perhaps the only thing I can think of is because it's gotten legitimately good. You know, like de-alcoholizing normal beer, which is a process that really, like, affects flavor in a bad way. That was a method of choice until recently, and people like Bill at Athletic Brewing have been playing with the process in a way that is resulting in better products than ever. I won't get nerdy about the process right now, but, you know, I think wine will be the next thing. There aren't many good non-alcoholic wines out there, perhaps because there aren't enough people trying, right? Like, perhaps because it's such a commitment. Like, you know, Athletic's beers, I'm not paid by them, I promise. I just really love Athletic's beers, I keep mentioning. You know, they're a two-week turnaround, right? Like, with wine, there's a longer aging and fermentation time. There's a seasonal harvest as opposed to access to water, hops, barley, and yeast. You would have to devote some of your tanks to the non-alc wines, which would ultimately sell for less than the regular ones. So it just hasn't been economically viable. But as this alcohol-free space grows and consumers want more of it, perhaps it will be. Like, it just needs people to thoughtfully approach it rather than taking a full-strength wine and, like, blasting it through an industrial de-alcoholization machine. So we'll see.
Yeah. Julia, thank you so much for your insights and for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Julia Bainbridge is host of the Lonely Hour podcast, and her book is called Good Drinks, for those who aren't drinking for whatever reason. Jordana Rothman is a food writer and editor and co-author of the book, Tacos, Recipes, and Provocations. You can find her on Instagram at Jordana Rothman.